easy to hear these events read every Palm Sunday. Not easy to hear about the suffering and the death of Christ. It's not easy to remind ourselves of the awfulness of humanity and what people can do to others. And yet, even though this is a difficult time, a solemn time, it's also a time in which we have a sense of joy as well, because we not only understand what is going to be accomplished throughout the rest of this week and then ultimately completed on Easter Sunday, but it's also a joyful time as we recognize that Christ came not only to be our Savior and to provide salvation for us, but to certainly to give us a sense of hope and a sense of joy, even in the midst of tragic and difficult circumstances that happen around us. There was a young boy who was homesick one Palm Sunday with his mother, and his father went to church. His father came home with a palm branch, much like the ones we received today, and his son was curious about that, and he asked, "Dad, why do you have a palm branch?" His dad said, "Well, when Jesus came into town, the people honored him by waving branches of palms and putting them down in front of him along with their cloaks and things like that. And so we got palm branches at church today." Little boy said, "It figures. The one Sunday I didn't come to church is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Well, Jesus didn't just show up in Jerusalem and all of a sudden there was a great crowd of people welcoming him into the city. He knew what was going to take place. He knew what was going to happen. And so he had begun to make arrangements for him to come into town, and people knew that he was coming into town. Many of them had seen him do miraculous things. Many of them had seen him do healings and other things like that. Others had heard about him doing these wonderful things, and so they had come to the city to see him enter into the city. And certainly Jesus knew that he was coming into the city, and so perhaps he had prepared the way for his disciples to go and find a young donkey, a foal or a colt of a donkey, as some translations say. And it was kind of almost like a virgin donkey on which no one has ever ridden. And he did that in order to fulfill an ancient prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, which talks about the Messiah riding on a donkey. Now, normally when a king came into town, he would ride in on a great white horse, a charger of some sort. But Jesus, in order to fulfill this prophecy and to show his humility, came into town riding on a lowly donkey into Jerusalem on what is called his triumphal entry. And as he came into town, as he told his disciples to prepare for this event, he said, "Go in and you'll find a young donkey tied up. Untie it and bring it to me. And if someone asks you, why are you untying it, say the master has need of it." And so they went and found it just as Jesus had said. And they untied the donkey and bring it to the master. So you and I can really enter into this story at any point along the whole Palm Sunday narrative. But I want us to enter into this story today through the story of these two disciples who went to find this donkey. And as we see that they went to look for this donkey, they found it just as Jesus had said it would be. Seems like every day in the life of the church we are called to make the journey of these two disciples on an important errand for Jesus and for his kingdom. He calls each one of us to go and untie the donkey. Perhaps you might look at the things that happen to you or the things that will happen to you in a different sort of way than you ordinarily do. You might begin to look at them as errands on which Jesus might be sending you for his kingdom, for his purposes. Maybe errands that you have to run today might just seem like ordinary things that you have to do. But they could be something that might be fulfilling a purpose that Jesus has for his kingdom. Maybe you might be called to visit someone that you hadn't thought about before, or someone that maybe you didn't realize needed a visit. That could be a part of Jesus' errands that he might be calling you on to fulfill his purpose in his kingdom. Maybe it might be something related to your job that you're doing. You may not realize it. You've been doing the same job over and over again, and You may not realize it, but there's something, some errand that Jesus might be calling you to do that day in your job. Whatever the case may be, Jesus is constantly sending us out on errands to run for Him and for His kingdom. Are you ready to do the errands that He might be calling you to do? Are you ready to be His disciple as you go out into the world from this place today? Once the colt was brought to Jesus, He began His journey into Jerusalem. He entered the city into great adulation. The people were shouting and cheering His name. They were saying, "Hosanna to the highest, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." He was, they thought, the Messiah that Israel had been looking for, lo, these many years. And so they hailed Him as the King of Kings. They hailed Him as their King as they laid their branches of palms in front of Him and their cloaks and things like that. Recently we have seen various award shows on TV, and ordinarily when there is a film premiere or an award show, you'll see celebrities coming down the red carpet. They're dressed in their Bob Mackie outfits, their Versaces, their Christian Dior outfits, suits and gowns, and they're all ready to be seen by everyone. And so as they come down the aisle, they're walking down the red carpet, and people have their iPhones out taking pictures, and paparazzi are there taking pictures, and the celebrities are smiling. They're excited. Everyone is wanting to see them, and they're saying almost in essence, "Look at me, look at me." If people would have had iPhones in those days, they would have been taking pictures of Jesus and yelling out His name. But instead, they had branches of palms that they placed in front of Him, along with the cloaks and other things. And they normally did that as a king would enter into the city. And so Jesus, being the king that they were looking for, wanted to honor Him by waving their branches of palms and putting their clothing down and their branches of palms in front of Him. That was a way of honoring Him in those days. And certainly palms were a sign of two big festivals. They were a sign of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Booths. And that feast was something that was designed to celebrate the potential coming of the royal Messiah into town. But this was a time of Passover. It was a time of repentance, a time of forgiveness. It was a time of sacrifice. But Jesus somehow melded these two celebrations together, these two events together, by not prohibiting the people to worship Him and by not telling them to remain silent. Jesus ordinarily did not want to call attention to Himself. You might remember in John chapter 2 that there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus was there with His mother and some others, and the wine ran out. And His mother turned to Jesus and said, "Do something about this." And Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." And so when Jesus provided the wine for the wedding, He didn't announce it to everyone. Instead, He had it done through the servants, who He told to fill up some water jars. In John chapter 6, the people came to try to take Him by force and make Him the king. But it says that He just kind of slipped through the crowd and disappeared. Jesus often did that. When he began to have success in various communities, it seemed like He just then went on to another community and began to minister there. On several occasions, Jesus healed people, and He told them not to tell anyone. Jesus was not all about calling attention to Himself. He was not all about trying to gain the spotlight until today, until this Palm Sunday. It's amazing that in 5 days, many of the same people who cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord," we're now going to be saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." It's amazing how fast a hero can be turned into a villain. All we need to do is to look at some of the celebrity parents who paid for their children to get into college and how they're suffering now as a result of that. And many of them were those who walked on the red carpets, many of those who were smiling at the adulation of the crowd. But I suspect now if they were to walk on that same red carpet, many of them might be vilified. I imagine these parents were humiliated. They were ashamed and perhaps somewhat afraid to be out in public. They probably believe that they have suffered a lot. But their suffering does not in any way compare with the suffering of Jesus Christ. Jesus was mocked. He had names called at him. He was humiliated by people. He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with a whip that was designed to rip open his skin. He was forced to carry a heavy wooden cross on the way to the place of his crucifixion. Once he was there, he was nailed to that awful instrument of torture. He suffered a long, agonizing death on that cross. But beyond that, he had laid on him the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Much like the scapegoat had sins laid on it before it was sent out into the wilderness in the Old Testament. So great was his suffering that Jesus cried out on the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You might remember that from our psalm today that we sang. Jesus, even in his agony and in his torment on the cross, was fulfilling ancient prophecies of the Old Testament. He was quoting prophecies like this prophetic psalm from Psalm 22. He was fulfilling prophecies all during his crucifixion. Jesus was one who came to fulfill the ancient prophecies of the Old Testament. Because he had the sins of the world placed upon him as the final sacrificial lamb, we can say that he suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of mankind. Because he experienced what it's like for all the world to be separated from God for all eternity. To not have a place in heaven, to not have a place in the kingdom of God. He experienced what that would feel like to people separated from God. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for the sins of the world that we could not pay for. That penalty means that we are separated from God. We are separated from his kingdom. We have no place in heaven. Because Jesus paid for our sins, we have the ability to enter into the presence of God, not only through prayer, but also when we die, we'll be able to go into the presence of God. And that's the meaning of that phrase that you remember in our gospel lesson today, when it says when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now in the temple, in the center of the temple, there was a cordoned off area, cordoned off by a veil, a curtain that was included the Holy of Holies inside of it. The Holy of Holies contained the Ark of the Covenant, that had the Ten Commandments and other things in it. And also it represented the presence of God among the people. So only the high priest had the ability to go behind this curtain into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And so only the high priest was able to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, he tore that curtain apart. And that curtain represents the fact that now we are no longer separated from God. Because of our sins. Now we have access to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus tore that curtain in two, that meant that now not only do we have access to God, but now he, as our high priest, has forgiven us of our sins. And so because of that, we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he said these words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And what he was saying there, he was reminding us that Jesus had a human spirit just like we have. When we are born with a human spirit. The human spirit is the essence of who we are. And so that human spirit is designed to have a relationship with God, who is spirit. And so when Jesus died, he commended his spirit to the Father. And when we die as Christians, we are commending our spirit to the Father. When we die, our spirits go to be with the Lord. And we remain with the Lord until he comes back again at his second coming. And when he comes back at his second coming, we will come back with him. And at that time, we will receive a new glorified resurrection body in which our spirits, our redeemed spirits, will live forever for all eternity. And so when we have that body in which we will live in his kingdom because of what Jesus Christ did by his death on the cross. So recognizing all of these things and realizing what Jesus has done for you, the question I want to ask is, are you willing to run errands for Jesus Christ? The errands to which he might call you to run in your life. It might be as something as simple as untying a donkey. It might be as difficult as telling someone else about Jesus Christ and trying to introduce them to the Savior. I like what St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to these words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. As I mentioned, when we come to Christ, our spirits are redeemed. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We become a new creation in Christ. We are made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a new creation, as Paul says. And the old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. When you come to Christ, you are what Jesus calls born again. Your spirit is born again. You have a new spirit living within you, and that spirit is acceptable to God. Your sins are forgiven. And then the sins that you committed are no longer held against you. God has forgiven you of all of your sins. And so that means we are reconciled to God. And Christ came into this world to remind us that that's the purpose for which he came. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now there may be someone here today who maybe might say, you know, I don't really feel like I'm reconciled to God. I don't really feel like that I have a relationship with God. I don't even know if I have a home in heaven or not. But you can know that today by simply turning away from everything that you know is wrong, by asking God to forgive you for your sins and to invite Christ to come into your life. And when you make that sincere plea, that he promises to come into your life, to give you a new creation, a new start in life, and to give you a home in heaven. And once you do that, you will become an ambassador for Christ. So that wherever you go in life, you'll be representing Jesus Christ. So each one of us who have already made that decision, once we leave this place, we are called to be an ambassador for Christ. Wherever Christ might lead us, on whatever errand he might call us to go on, we are his representatives. We might even have an opportunity to do something as simple as to serve someone else, or as complex as to help them to understand our relationship with Christ, and perhaps to invite him to come into their life as well. Whatever the case may be, Christ is calling each one of us on an errand this week, maybe more than one. And whatever that errand might be, realize that wherever you're going as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus because you did not want any of us to perish, any of us to not have a way to get into heaven. To not have a way to get into your presence. Lord, we thank you that Jesus has become our high priest and has paid the final sacrifice for our sins so that we might have the ability to have a relationship with you and to enter into your presence. Lord, help us to experience your presence not only in prayer, but ultimately when we die as we commit our souls to you. Lord, we thank you that you have even allowed us to become ambassadors for you. Give us the ability to be worthy representatives of you as we go out into the world. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.